You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. This is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network. Currently, you've probably heard me on a show called Screen Heroes, where we discuss movies and TV shows about superheroes, sci-fi, and a little bit of fantasy. Well, I love fantasy so much, I am starting a brand new podcast about fantasy television series. We are going to review these series in a bit more detail than what Screen Heroes usually does. We'll discuss multiple episodes for a whole continuous arc and then move on to another series. Spellbound will review shows, new shows like The Witcher, Good Omens, Carnival Row, and Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. We're also going to look back at previous shows such as American Gods and Avatar: The Last Airbender, old miniseries from the 90s like Leprechauns and the 10th Kingdom, and we're going to do a movie here and there, maybe even a little bit of fantasy upcoming news, who knows. You'll be able to follow Spellbound at SpellboundCast on Twitter for the latest fantasy news about the show, about the upcoming shows that we'll be discussing. You can also listen to us Fridays, coming in September.
Good morning, friends. You're tuned in to episode 105 of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name's Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan. Thomas, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
I watched a four-hour Destiny lore video earlier. That's what I did. That's how I'm doing.
All right.
Yeah.
And you survived to tell the tale.
I really enjoyed it. Anyway, we have a guest today. Today we've got Devin O'Hill joining us. Devin, how's it going?
Hi, I am fantastic. Thank you for asking. Cool. I have some wonderful color-changing water, which I thought was Gatorade, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, every time Thomas gives me one of these glasses and puts water in it, I always think it's like that super sugary orange drink you always get. This shit's so good, but
one of these times it will be. It'll be like hummingbird juice. It'll be nectar.
I can't wait to hear about that.
That sounds great.
It'd be like the time that Cam ruined the mic by spitting all over it.
This isn't water.
Good
How
thing
could
I
you?
Paid for it then. So let's go ahead and get just started with what we have been playing. Who wants to start? Because I just have one this week.
I'll start.
Okay.
So I'm not going to talk about WoW or Apex, which I...
Sound the fucking alarm.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear me talk about that again.
I do actually want to hear about Apex next week, because
yes,
I know that new update's coming out, and that seems cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. So we record this on Monday, so this is the 30th?
The 30th of September.
30th. Yes. Tomorrow is the 1st, which means that is the start of the new season of Apex. With that, as far as I know, they just, like, 2 days ago announced a new map, or 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for a new map. I felt like that was the biggest thing that they needed to do to upgrade, like, their... The thing, because it could stale after just the same map, even if they do add new characters.
Yeah,
they
I heard, still know all the paths. There was a rumor that I heard through people in the game. I don't know, you know, since I don't use Twitter that extensively, I don't hear most of the rumor mill. So I also didn't know if there were whispers of this new map coming. I know that people really wanted it. You know, there have been changes to the map every month or so with limited time events, which I think have been good. But also, you know, my buddies who played the game when picked it up when it first came out, when they jump in now, it's mostly the same. It's, you know, they recognize everything. So I'm excited for a new map. Came with cool new cinematic. We're gonna see the new character released as well. He's got his own like 4 or 5 minute backstory video. It might not even be that long.
Okay.
It's a cool little animated short. And you can spot him in the game. That was kind of cool. I didn't read online anywhere that you could find him in the game. But I went and found this log, an audio log. It's the only one in the game that's existed that has Wraith saying something. So Wraith was one of the characters was spotlighted. She got her own cool animated short recently. If you haven't checked that out, go do that. So that came out, and then there was this in-game event that was focused around her. And so in this lab that you can now find, there's a hidden room that you have to break the door down for. And you go back there, and I found an audio log, and it basically what it is you hear her speaking, and you find out that she used to be, Wraith used to be the person in charge of the project where she got experimented on. She's basically saying, man, I really hope we find some test subjects soon, because if we don't, I'm going to have to do this myself. And then when, you know, knowing what you know from watching the short, that did not work out well for her at all. Real bad. But that was cool to discover that lore in game, because that's the only time they've had that, had anything like that fleshed out within the confines of the game. It, most of the time it's, you know, just something online, like a short. But yeah, that was cool. Anyway, I was showing somebody else that, and apparently when you're discovering that audio log, if you turn to the side, you can look through this window and you can see this character moving. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, damn, that's the dude in the other short that I just watched. This cool hacker guy. He's got a robot that flies around. The stuff I've heard that he can do, I'm not sure if it's official, so I don't want to, you know, set anybody wrong. But I will find out tomorrow. I assume he'll he'll be out. It looks like he'll be out tomorrow when the
That seems to be what I've seen from, like, the marketing stuff they've had around that. I guess we are talking about Apex this week.
But that's all I have to say. Okay, cool. Because that comes out tomorrow, Tuesday. You know, the episode, this episode releases Wednesday, so that will have already dropped.
Really just bad timing, honestly.
that's just how it goes.
This is all news to me. I haven't been following Apex for a while, so I'm glad that you said all that, because now I'm excited to get back into it.
Yeah, I'm really excited, too. It kind of looked like they were using a new gun in it, which would check out. They haven't released a new gun in a while. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to check that out, and we will talk about that next week. It's still the same fun game. I will say, I hit level 100 in my battle pass. I've never hit one. I've never, like, maxed out.
Is that the max out?
Yeah.
Cool.
I've never done that in any of these, like, seasons of a game before. Of course, Apex is my first battle royale, so I've never really, you know, I'm still pretty new to all this. But yeah, it was cool. I maxed it all out. It just means I got a bunch of cool looking stuff, but...
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's exciting. I feel like there's a lot of variety to that game now with the challenges, just incentivizing you to try out different weapons and different characters and stuff, which is good, because otherwise I just play Watson, the French engineer, all the time. She's awesome. Anyway, that game's great. We'll talk about it next week. I could talk about Strictly Casual, our meetup. If you live in Kansas City, once a month on a Wednesday, you can check our social media. We have our monthly meetup. It used to be weekly. Now it's monthly, so it's more of an occasion. We had a bunch of people show up.
It was fun.
I had so many different games, different types of games, too.
Totally. There were so many games. So, Cam, you brought Rock Band.
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Keep forgetting that people fucking love Rock Band. And also, shout out to the people that gave me money to buy me songs.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool setup.
Please, people, keep doing that, because that means I don't have to buy them.
Dude, yeah, to be able to...
Please don't add the link below. No.
Yeah. My PayPal is...
Cam's Rock Band.
So we had Rock Band going. We had a Dreamcast there with fighting games on it.
Yeah.
Meant to play. Yeah, so he'll be back.
Is that what they were playing the fight sticks on?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The fact that those fight sticks have adapters that are compatible to be able to play those old fighters on there, that's pretty cool. They're using...
Especially for a Dreamcast, that's such a unique port.
Yeah.
Totally.
And they're PS4 fight sticks. So, like, man, I mean, that's a testament to how into the scene fighting game players are, because it's not just the players, it's the developers. People make all sorts of products specifically for this. Like, they're like, do you want to play a game that's 20 years old? Perfect. You can use whatever stick you own. Doesn't matter what it is.
Melee.
No, yeah, totally. Like, they keep putting out GameCube controllers for every single, like, new system with a Smash. They're just like, hey, here's a GameCube adapter. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you guys can keep doing that if you want.
It's like a Tower of Power. Like.
Right.
So there's that. I'm looking forward to playing Power Stone next month. That's one of the only fighting games I ever really played growing up.
I can bring that.
Rayshawn will have it all the same, but I won't stop
you.
Oh,
that's fair.
He'll have
the system. Fighting game that's ever existed. So.
Yeah. I never knew that game was 4-player. I only played with my one friend. We played 1-on-1. So 4-player sounds insane. And I'm really looking forward to playing that. So it was that. Somebody brought Castle Crashers for the Switch. We had Untitled Goose Game. Yeah, Borderlands 3.
Mm-hmm.
Though I will say, we were playing on a TV that wasn't that big.
It was a pretty small TV.
Small TV. We were on split screen, and I really struggled to see any, like, fine print
Shout
or fine
out to
details.
HG Gaming.
I wasn't thrilled with that, but also we were on a small monitor. That's definitely not the screen you'd play split screen on at home. So I can't really blame them. Like, this was definitely not the ideal situation, or certainly the standard situation to be playing split screen in.
Sure.
But that seemed fine. I think I'm glad I didn't buy it, not because there's anything wrong with the game, but I've just never been super hot on Borderlands, and I don't think this is going to change my mind. If I have a chance to play sometime, you know, somebody brings it, I'll probably play it again, but it was nice to have an opportunity to try that out without having to spend any money.
Sure. Yeah.
I feel like that's fair. It's a very Borderlands game. If you already feel a certain way about Borderlands, it's totally not going to change your outlook on
it. What I have seen from people who I know personally who've played a whole lot of 3 and played a whole lot of the other ones and a lot of the review stuff, it's just like, it's more of it. If you're into that, great. If you're not, just it's not going to do anything special. Shout out to that guy that just sped by the house.
Yeah.
All right. Patrick is. There we go. Sponsored by. Please donate to the link.
Yeah, so that was a good time. So I barely played anything, actually, besides Rock Band and Borderlands. Mm-hmm. But that's a pretty good problem to have, there was too much to play.
Yeah.
But I will say, because, you know, Carlos was on the show last week. He talked about Untitled Goose Game. He bought the game brought it with him, and I played some there. As a result, I bought the game on Sunday.
Excellent.
And I actually didn't even play it. I handed it off to my friend Christina. And watched her play for like an hour and a half, probably. Mm-hmm. That was great. Like, that was just some quality game viewing time. Really. I think it was like $15 or something.
Yeah, I think it's 15 for maybe the next few days or something. It's normally 20, but they launched it at a discount.
Is there like 15 or 25% off? Mm-hmm.
Is it across all platforms, or is it just on the Switch?
Switch, PC, I believe. I know it's not on PS4 or Xbox.
Yeah, it's just Switch and PC, deal. I think. Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But game's pretty cool. It was just a nice, fun... Well, for us, it was Sunday fun day. Get together and relax. You know, it was perfect for that. Because I didn't really want to play it. I actually had WoW pulled up on my laptop.
Fucking nerd.
Yeah. Jesus. watching that was just a great experience. The sound design in that game, man, is rad. It's so silly because anytime you're being extra mischievous, like if a human has spotted you, it has this piano that's really like stumbly and
great and goofy. Oh, that's so good.
Dude, it's really great. Like, I think like the music is almost my favorite part of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's saying a lot because the visuals of it are great. The way the goose waddles is really great. And even some of the puzzles and all that stuff. They made us like laugh out loud a lot.
That game looks really, really funny. And I was watching Carlos play it at our meetup, and he was basically like trying to trick this person to like go into this garage. So he like grabbed this vegetable from the stuff she was trying to sell and like just carried it into the garage, and she like chased in and followed him, and the goose on the way out just like pulled this string and like fucking locked her in the garage. And it's fucking hilarious. And then you just sit there and honk at her for like an hour.
Dude,
and
that honk
is really good. It's a good honk.
It is. So I ended up to complete my Apex Battle Pass. I have two TVs in my living room. So on one, I was watching, I wouldn't say duck game. I posted it in the Facebook group the other day. I posted this meme that's funny. It's like the cat meme, you know, with a woman pointing and the cat.
Yeah.
And I titled it Untitled Duck Meme. And I didn't realize that for like a week. And I was like, man, you guys are way too nice. Not one person corrected me on this.
I thought about it.
Yeah, I missed it. And then the moment you corrected it, I'm like, oh shit, I think that did say duck.
Yeah.
This fucking idiot over here.
Yeah, look at me. So Christina's playing on that. And I'm on Apex on, you know, mic with my buddy. And so I'm telling him, you know, what's going on in Goose Game. And, you know, when he was getting ready to leave, he's like, all right, see you, Thomas. You know, see you, Lizzie. And, you know, my girlfriend says, like, bye. And he goes, see you, Christina. And then you hear, rawr, rawr. That was good.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have to get that game. It sounds like so much fun.
Want to play Goose Game.
If you look at that game and you think it's for you, then it's for you.
Great. It's for me then.
Yeah.
I can't wait to... Y'all got some bread, somebody. You know.
That's basically the whole game. Like, I watched a clip of somebody on Twitter. I think it was yesterday. They just captioned it like, where is your God now? And they were just like standing around this child cowering in fear, just wings out honking for like a minute straight. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that game is a very good time. It really is. Like, that's the specific kind of game that if you think it's for you, then it is. If you don't, right. then it's not. You know, say with Borderlands, you can pretty much like mm-hmm. look at it at a glance, and whatever your first thought is, that's, you know, that's your decision. Yeah, definitely recommend that game. The funny games are really hitting the spot for me right now.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Yes.
We need it.
Yeah.
Hey, Debbie, what you been playing?
Mario Kart Tour.
Yes.
So, like I said, I would recommend the gyro controls over the tap to slide. Mm-hmm. That's personally me, though, because for me, it's kind of clumsy for me to be tapping and try to use an item with, like, the second finger or whatever.
Yeah,
claw fingers.
Yeah.
Right, right. Exactly. It's definitely a lot easier to turn and tap than it is to tap and tap.
That's, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. It's like, it gets really crowded on the limited screen space that you have, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And then I've also been playing a lot of Castle Crashers.
Nice. Because
the remastered Switch version.
It's like, great game.
Before the meetup, actually, leveled up all of the knights to level 17 because I didn't anticipate anybody having the game there. Mm-hmm. So I wanted everybody to get that, like, you know, in-game, well, half mid-game experience mm-hmm. where they're not powerful, like too powerful,
sure,
but powerful enough to where it's satisfying to play instead of just juggling enemies across the screen, across the right. horizon.
You know? Or just not doing anything at all.
Right. Or just the adventure timing where you just walk through the dungeon with your super OP friend and just get all the experience that way.
Yeah,
I've done that a whole lot in that game.
That's about it. Besides not, I mean, playing Smash in my downtime for Ultimate, because, you know, they just released all the DLC, the Sans and all that whatnot, which I'm sure you guys talked about before.
Not really, actually. We didn't really talk about Smash a whole lot here, which is a bummer, because, like, I love Smash, but not for a lot of the, like, hyper, like, competitive play to get better play because I'm, like, really good at it. But I really like it.
Like,
just
the too legit to quit squad.
That's right.
I like it. My favorite thing about Smash is really just kind of all, like, the love and care that they put into just that game is kind of this big, almost, like, Hall of Fame of video games that they kind of presented as. Like, I've tried a whole lot to, like, finish Undertale, and whenever they're like, oh, hey, Sans is going to be a DLC, like, me Gunner costume. I'm like, okay, cool, that's really neat. Oh, it comes with a song, I'll buy it. Like, I'm really into just, like, it as a musical collection.
Not only a song, the song from that game.
Like, the song that everybody knows from Undertale.
It put the game on the map,
pretty much. Also, that remix still have not seen that song.
Like, real talk.
Oh,
that remix, that remix is good.
It's
playing
it's
during
good.
The direct, I still have not seen that game, that song in the game of Undertale, because I still haven't finished the playthrough of where that shows up.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that I've beaten that game twice and still never seen the most famous song and the first song I ever heard from that soundtrack. Just what a goofy thing. But I do find that funny that not that the game is so prolific, which it is, but that song is so prolific.
Totally.
Even there are people who've never played Undertale,
like,
and they're like, hell
kind
yeah.
Of like, the way I kind of describe it to people is, you think about Megalovania, which is the song in question, I don't know if we actually named it yet, as kind of the, like, nerd group, like, stairway to heaven, where, like, if you have, like, somebody who is... I've seen a lot of people who are musicians that play a lot of, like, video game covers. They're always just like, I'm going to play Megalovania on as many instruments as possible.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I respect it. That's fucking awesome.
Dude, I think there are more... I mean, this is half hyperbole, but only halfway. I feel like Megalovania and the Undertale soundtrack may be the most covered... Well, across different genres, one of the most covered video game soundtracks of all time. I know, like, Zelda and Mario have been around for ages, but boy, have I found a lot of...
I would say, like,
it
relative...
It was an exponential resurgence in, like, game covers. It was, like, a whole... Every time you go to, like, the website to see if there's anything new, Megalovania cover, Megalovania
right,
cover.
Right. Yep.
On the hurdy-gurdy, like...
Yeah.
I don't have one of those anymore.
Yeah.
Playing Megalovania on the harpsichord. Yeah, and I think definitely relative to the amount of time that game has been out, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think that also is just kind of, this game came out in the internet age. Like,
yeah.
Mario has not always been like that and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I definitely agree with you there.
It's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have been playing a little game by the name of, let's see if I can get the whole title because it's a long one. Dragon Quest XI S Echoes of an Elusive Age Definitive Edition.
LOL!
For the Nintendo Switch.
No. For the Nintendo Switch. Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah. So, I picked that up, like you kind of said earlier with Goose Game. Like, this is very much a game that if you know you will love it, you will fucking love it. And I fucking love this game. I picked it up Friday. I played the demo a little bit before that because the demo for this game is 10 hours long.
Like,
Well, the game is like 120 hours long. So it's like a good, so you know, 12th of
Sounds
the game.
Standard for Dragon Quest, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a JRPG. It's a JRPG. I was trying to say a phrase, but I fucked up there. Yeah, man. I played the demo for a little bit, and then my pre-order, because I picked this up with one of my vouchers.
And
the pre-order like went live and all that stuff. The demo lets you carry your save over because it's a JRPG.
Oh, that's
nice. I do not want to replay the first 10 hours of that game. It would make me never want to play it.
Yeah.
And so I carried that over, and then I just started playing it Friday night after I got off of work. And then Sunday night, I checked my playtime, and it was 22 hours. So I played that game for 22 hours this weekend.
Nice.
It was great. That game's great. I don't know if you've, have either of you guys played a Dragon Quest game?
My first one was for the DS. I think it was Sentinels of the Starry Skies, number 9. I think that was
yes.
it.
Yes, yeah, yeah, okay.
And it had character customization, which is the first thing that draws me into any game, because I will spend literally a day making my character.
This does not have that.
Well, 9 does. I'm talking about 9.
11 does not, yeah.
11, okay, the one you're talking about. But that's the one that I've played.
Okay, cool. So you're familiar with it. It's pretty much like the story with those games never does anything like really special. It's just kind of generic JRPG fare, but you're kind of really drawn into that for, like, it. I don't want to say exactly what you'd expect, but that's kind of what you get here. But it's done really, really well. Like, they are, like, the Dragon Quest series is really kind of the first JRPG. They have been around for forever. Dragon Warrior, the first one, came out on the NES, or really the Famicom, whatever, if you live in Japan. But, this game just does, like, your typical JRPG turn-based combat stuff, where you have your turn-based combat, and it's your turn, then the enemy's turn. There's, like, no real weakness system in place or anything. It's very much like you have your spells, you have your attacks, they do MP, you have HP, like, it, exactly what you would kind of expect. It's very stereotypical because they, like, created this formula. It's a really comforting game because it's, like, got this, like, tinge of positivity on it without, like, laying it on too thick, because, like, it doesn't have to, like, get really dark or anything. Like, the, like, story bits that I've seen up to the point that I'm at right now, where, let's see, you have, like, some shit goes down, and there's some bad things happening to you and your crew, and in a lot of other games, they would kind of lean into that whole dark aspect, and this one, it's just like, oh, well, something happens, and everything's all right, and it's kind of a really nice thing to see, considering how kind of heavy-handed a lot of games have been lately. This game is really comforting, and I think it knows that. Everything is, like, super streamlined. I don't know if there is a... I don't know if some of these features are new for the Definitive Edition, because I didn't play the base one on PS4. I was, like, explicitly waiting for this one to come out. But you have, like, you can change the battle speed. So I just have my battle speed set to very fast, so that kind of, like, speeds up that grind a little bit. There's a lot of nice stuff where, like, even your party members that are, like, set in standby don't actually... they don't get, like, half experience, I think. I think they just get full experience with everyone, so you don't have to, like, spend a bunch of extra time swapping people out to, like, level them up separately.
So tell me about that. So we probably have 3 people in combat, I imagine.
You can have 4 people in combat. It's really, like, your character, who is a silent protagonist, because of course he is.
That's... Dragon Quest is where Hero from Smash is from, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And specifically, like, the one that they announced in that trailer is from 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fire Emblem announced him. Like, yeah, here's our new game totally. With a new character, but Smash Bros. He's in Smash Bros.
Right.
You'll play him there first. Like.
Totally.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Dragon Quest except for the picture of those characters, the different variations of that hero.
Yeah.
I've seen that on the internet before, and that's straight up all my knowledge.
Right. It like, the story for those games is really nothing special. It's usually just, like, an evil has befallen this great kingdom, and you are the lone hero that can go save them. Like, it's
classic.
Almost every single game is exactly like that.
Yeah. It's really the characters that bring the game forward. You know,
sure.
They always have really memorable characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've only actually ever played the 3D ones, which is 8, and really this one I never played. Was it 9 on the
DS? Yes.
9. I didn't touch 9. I wanted to, but I think I just missed it. But the Definitive Edition has this special feature where First of all, they brought in the like full symphonic soundtrack, which the original game did not have, which is fucking gorgeous. And it plays a whole lot, and it's just really, really beautiful and wonderful and pretty, and I love it, and I never turn it off. But you can also play the entire game in 2D in the style of the older Dragon Warrior games. So, like, an old-ass, like, NES or Super Nintendo JRPG, like, with the sprites and everything, and the battle system, like, looking exactly like that. They built the entire game to be played like that, which is very cool.
Dope.
There's some extra content as well that I've been going through and finding that is only playable in 2D, and I don't think it means as much to me because I don't have a history with the series, but, like, some of the character names that pop out I've known because they've been mainstays in the other games, and I think you're, like, revisiting different points in time in the Dragon Quest universe, which I think is really fucking cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of like what they did with Fire Emblem Awakening, where they came out with DLC, where you can explore like chapters of the past games in the new like environment upgraded.
That's pretty
and all
cool.
That.
Yeah. It sounds a whole lot like that. So I'm really enjoying it. It's going to be really hard for me to juggle that and fucking Destiny coming out tomorrow, but we're going to see what happens. So,
oh boy,
good lord!
Oh man, Cam, you got your work cut out for you.
I do. I really do. I have one game that doesn't end, and one that's like at least another 100 hours.
So it will never end.
Just I'm thinking about playing Medieval this month too. So like fucking Medieval.
Medieval.
That's a PlayStation remake.
Oh, with Sir Dan.
Yeah,
the skeleton.
Sir Dan, my boy.
I forgot that was coming out.
Yeah, that's like this month. month as of the episode going live.
That's right. I remember because when they made the announcement, I was like, ooh, spoopy. You know?
Yeah, I'm like one of five people excited for that game. So, you know. So let's go ahead and jump into a couple of news items that I wanted to go over here real quick. So I quit rambling about Dragon Quest. So they announced the release date for The Last of Us Part 2 this past week, which is February 21st, 2020, which kind of lined up with a lot of the rumors that went around. But a thing that came out about that that people seemed really down on, and it was the fact that they were like, hey, there's not going to be multiplayer. This game is purely single player only, which is a little bit of a departure from like recent Naughty Dog, but also the, I don't know if you guys played a whole lot of any of the multiplayer of the first one.
I haven't.
Okay. I did. I liked it. It was rough.
Yes. So did you play The Last of Us?
Yes.
Okay. So the multiplayer was, it had that kind of same tension and like brutality and like scarcity of resources that the main game had, but there was this kind of metagame around your character where you linked your Facebook profile and it would pull in names of people on your friends list, and you had to basically, throughout each match, you had to accomplish different objectives to basically get supplies to feed your camp and feed the survivors who were your friends.
Oh, my.
So you basically were encouraged to play certain ways or like go for certain objectives or like go for certain items or do certain things in different like multiplayer matches, depending on what your particular like personal camp needed to keep your people alive.
So and
like,
that can be pretty tough.
It was very tough. Like there was like an end point where it like capped off and I never got remotely close to it.
I feel like I never even just got anywhere near that. Because you would get higher up, and it's not like a rank in Call of Duty or a standard game where you're climbing a ladder and
like prestiging and things like that.
Yeah. Instead, you've just got that number that's growing, and the number didn't seem to really do anything, right? I mean, I think it's just so
I think
bragging
so.
Rights.
Yeah.
So you could just ignore it, and that would be that. But the idea is that you get harder and harder challenges to complete in the game. And you can sometimes choose, if I'm remembering correctly, you'd finish a game and it would be like, oh, an event is starting for you. You get to, you know, something bad is about to happen. You get to choose one of three objectives that you personally want to complete. And how well you do on that is going to affect, you know, what happens. Sometimes it's like, hey, you're like, this is a good thing. Like, you found survivors and you need to collect enough blah 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 to be able to feed them, and so depending on how well you do, you'll get a boost to your camp. So if you don't do very well, you'll get, you know, a small boost. If you do very well, you get a big boost. In another event, it will say, hey, there's a really bad disease, and if you only do a small objective, you only lose like a pretty big amount of your camp. And if you just completely blow it if you don't complete a single thing. It'll be like, get 9 revives or something, which is hard. But I only got 2, so I didn't even reach the first tier. It'll be like, if you did 3, you know, 3, 6, or 9, whatever. So anyway, if you don't even hit the first tier, it'll be like, oh, you lost. Everyone died.
Yeah, no, and at that point, you really just kind of start over. Like, it was this really neat and punishing. It essentially was like the gameplay of The Last of Us mixed with Oregon Trail.
Yeah, that's
in a weird way.
A good way to show.
It was something that I had. Yeah. It was something I had never seen anybody do before. And I don't think I've really seen anybody do since.
Yeah,
and I know a lot of people, like, that was their favorite part of that game. Like, obviously the single player story is very compelling. Like, their Naughty Dog is good at what they do, but the multiplayer really drew in a whole lot of people. And like, I can really understand their disappointment whenever they're like, "Hey, we're not doing another one," because I know a lot of people were so hyped about the announcement because they wanted to see where they kind of took that in the future.
Yeah, it was really cool. I remember when the first Last of Us 2 teaser came out, my buddy Colin, who I play Apex with, we were like, hey, we used to play that game. Let's reinstall it and jump in the multiplayer. And we did. And I really had a good time with that game. But boy, it's got issues. Just stuff where it's like, oh, no, I was trying to vault over this thing and it got stuck. And then I just brutally died. And it was totally unforgiving. And just other things that could have been polished that just never were. It reminds me of the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Loved the hell out of it, but boy, they did not polish that thing at all.
So,
and that translated over to Andromeda too, because the multiplayer in that one was just I don't know if I could play the multiplayer in The Last of Us, though. I'm so emotional. Like, if any of my friends, like, if they're my friends,
it makes it worse.
It'll say their names.
Which is wild. And it's like, this person died.
I would literally cry. No. Like, I'm almost crying right now just thinking about it. Like,
yeah, no, it's some heavy stuff. Well, if you want to check it out, it's free on PlayStation Plus for the month of October.
Just donate to the following link.
No. Wait, The Last of Us is?
Yeah.
Last of Us
Remastered.
Wow. Okay, everyone go play that.
Right now.
I know there's a lot of people who are just like, fuck it, let's pack the servers. I'm like, all right, cool, let's do it. Like, that sounds fun.
It's fun. It's just a little rough around the edges. I thought that was super novel. I will say the thing that I will never forget about that game is for a multiplayer game that used silence in a tense way that I've never seen any other game.
Like, they managed to find. I was really concerned whenever they announced this game. It's like, hey, there's gonna be multiplayer. I'm like, I don't know about that. But no, like, it's very. It's sometimes even more tense than the single player stuff, where you do have like your listen and you can like hear people walk around, but like, for the most part, most of that match is incredibly quiet and very like tense until like the last like 30 seconds of a match where people like finally see each other and just like everything just
explodes.
Pops off and then there's like one person left.
Yeah,
it's a lot,
because even in the multiplayer you could craft you could run around and you could pick up boxes which had supplies in them and you could craft stuff. So if you wanted to craft smoke, you could do that. If you wanted to craft a board with a nail in it, or a med kit, or whatever, a bomb.
Yeah.
You could craft all this stuff, and you could custom do it, and you could, there are loadouts, so you can make it so, like, oh, my guy revives people twice as fast, or every time I craft something, I have an opportunity to, you can gift people stuff you make, and this perk is, like, when you gift somebody, it might gift them an extra one of those.
Oh,
so
that's really
if
cool.
You give away items, you're actually creating extra items for your teammate. So lots of cool things like that. It gave me the option to play a support character in that game, and I wasn't expecting that to be something the multiplayer offered. But yeah, we could keep talking about it, but there's just a lot of clever stuff. It'd be cool if they, well,
so
I will say, I'll probably be interested in whatever they
have. So not the end of the story yet. They recently just came out with an update for it. Where they're like, hey, we hear you, we understand, you guys are really fucking bummed about there being no multiplayer. We just wanted to, like, I'll read you the exact statement here. Give me one second here, I know this is great.
The official statement. All of that.
So from Naughty, from Naughty Dog's Twitter, we wanted to address multiplayer in The Last of Us Part 2. As we've stated, the single-player campaign is far and away the most ambitious project Naughty Dog has ever undertaken.
Heck,
likewise,
yeah.
As development began on the evolution of our factions mode from The Last of Us Part 1, which is the multiplayer, the vision of the team grew beyond an additional mode can be included with our enormous single-player campaign. Wanting to support both visions, we made the difficult choice that The Last of Us Part 2 would not include an online mode. However, you will eventually experience the fruits of our team's online ambition, but not as part of The Last of Us Part 2. When and where it will be realized is still to be determined, but rest assured, we are as big of a fan of factions as the rest of our community, and we are excited to share more when it's ready.
So, it sounds like they are going to do, like, some kind of standalone thing?
That's kind of exactly what I'm thinking. Hmm. So, which I'd totally be here for. Like, I really enjoyed that multiplayer. I would totally love to just, like, hang out with people and just be cripplingly depressed and watch our friends die. You know, great.
Well, I'm glad they're just taking the time out of it, like, to make sure, first of all, their core experience in, like, the part two is, like, the best that it can be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then they don't want to, like, shoehorn in, like, another, like, a multiplayer mode like they did with Uncharted. Mm-hmm. Which was
okay. People liked it, but I liked it
because, you know, they like to brag about ooh headshot, but, like, you know,
sure, like, I never liked the shooting in those games I think that's really neat. I'm excited to see whatever that ends up being, and I mean, yeah, like, the first game's servers are still online, go play that, it's really good.
So what do you think that, like, let's speculate here, what do you think that would be? Do you think if it was a standalone title, what do you think that standalone title would look like? Would it be a multiplayer only $40 release where it's just a kick-ass, you know, a factions thing where it's like a survival, you know, using those challenges that we saw before, you know, kind of build up your clan. Maybe there's, like, something external to the just the fighting. Maybe there's some other mode in it that's, like...
I think there could be something like that. Like, I think you would have to kind of definitely figure out a way that remains kind of tasteful to the source material, just because, like, if they want to really, like, bring home how just kind of heavy and fucked up all of this feels, like, you're only doing this really because you have to, then I think you can't do the traditional model of, like, oh, well, my gun's purple and sparkles, you know, like, that, that would just look really bad.
Yeah.
Man, there was a lot of people talking about the idea of, like, definitely smaller in scale, but, like, something like a Last of Us Factions Battle Royale, where it's just, like, you're just, like, on the map, but you don't know where anyone else is, and it's just, like, that tension is just everywhere, and you are just, like, fighting to survive. I think that could be really cool.
I think it'd be interesting without gunplay. Like, if you can only use just, like, analog weapons, like bows and knives and things like that, because once a gunfire breaks out, then you know where everything is.
Exactly.
So it would ruin the tension and the immersion in that for that case. I don't think we need another battle royale. Another one.
Sure.
Well, imagine if it was like this. So it functioned like a battle royale, but imagine it's like the, Kane and Lynch, right? Mm-hmm. Where everybody's on the same team. Like, it's, you know, that one is robbers versus cops, right? Until it's also robbers versus robbers, where you have the decision to make that. What if instead of robbers and cops, it was you've got all the humans, you've got the scavengers, and then you've got, you know, sort of a horde mode, a beast mode, where you've got somebody who starts as a zombie, and maybe there are AI zombies walking around as well, so, you know, the one person isn't just on their own. But imagine if, you know, it's the people with limited, you know, scarce resources versus an infected, you know, a clicker. And over time, people would get infected, and as resources get more and more scarce, the humans can be like, well, we're going to fight each other now. You know, I would love to see something like that, because then there would always be this tension of, like, am I about to be betrayed by somebody? You know, do I want to even go near people, even though there's strength in numbers? Or do I just want to, you know, try to survive on my own out here, even though it's way more dangerous? You know, I feel like there are a lot of opportunities to make a battle royale style game that's not people parachuting from the sky.
Right, yeah.
And with how innovative the factions mode in the first game was, you know, I'm pulling this out of thin air here. I'm making all this stuff up about the Kane and Lynch stuff. But, you know, we've got a lot of creative people making a lot of projects. And if Naughty Dog is taking out their multiplayer to make it for what sounds like a standalone thing, I wouldn't be surprised if they really throw a curveball at it.
No, I completely agree.
I really like the asymmetrical aspect of that, just that hypothetical thing right there. Mm. I really like that.
I think that would be a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it to me.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna be happy. I'm really excited for the game, for everything we're gonna see that we do know about. I love watching that trailer. That trailer was great. Man.
I'm really hyped
for that game.
I'm really ready for them to just break me emotionally.
Yes.
Do it. I'm ready.
I want them to break me physically. Like, I want the game to physically launch itself out of my system and then just, like, hit me. Yeah,
just, like, cut you in half or something.
Just cut out the middleman. No, yeah, no, great. Like, visual, emotional trauma. Just, like, hit me in the face.
All right. So, in the interest of time, we'll go ahead and just get on to releases coming out this week. So, we've got 80 Days hitting Switch tomorrow, October 1st. Destiny 2 Shadowkeep launches on PC, PS4, and Xbox One tomorrow. Fuck yes. I could get into that, but we will be here for hours. Sniper Elite 3 Ultimate Edition comes to Switch on October 1st, which is Tuesday. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint comes to PC, PS4, and Xbox One on the 4th, which I think is Friday? Is that Friday? I think that's Friday.
Yes.
I could look at a calendar, but...
Yeah, it is, because tomorrow, Tuesday, is the 1st.
On the 3rd, we have Neo Cab dropping for Switch and PC, as well as Paranoia, Happiness is Mandatory for PC.
I love that name.
It's a good name. It's a really good name. And then Ghostbusters, the video game remastered, comes to PC, PS4, Switch, and Xbox One on the 4th as well.
That's going
to
be so much fun.
Yeah, it's a good week. It's been a good week in video games for, like, the past month, and it has no signs of stopping, and that's fucking awesome.
And then we're coming into the holiday season, where stuff's going to go on sale, so everything you haven't played yet this year...
God, it's not even November yet.
No.
Oh, gosh. Fuck. It's not ready.
As of today, it's not even October yet.
You're right. Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, we got a lot of games ahead of us. I've seen people say online that the Ghost Recon stuff is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys down in our community played the... Early access on, I think, PC, I want to say.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think it was part of Uplay Plus or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems to be real hot on it.
That actually has benefits?
Apparently, yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that sounds cool. I'm not actually interested in buying that game, but I'm excited to see people into the shooters that aren't just Call of Duty.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know?
Ghost Recon's always had, especially with Wildlands, I feel like there was just this, like, niche of people who really enjoy... like what it provides, and it seems to be kind of scratching that same itch for a lot of people. So
yeah, I'm glad we have some variety there. Tom Clancy, that whole genre,
the Clancy franchise.
The franchise, yeah, the Clancyverse. This is just a coincidence, but it's real silly that I work a construction job, and I've met more people who, like, when video games casually came up, which does not happen very often, but when it does, I've had more people in trades around me mentioned the Tom Clancy games, Ghost Recon, and all this stuff more than any other game. Like, literally any other game. Not Fortnite, not mm-hmm. Call of Duty, Tom Clancy. And I'm like, I don't know what's in the water around here, but you guys love this stuff. I just always remember that. I was like, in my daily life, I know a couple guys, you know, but whatever it was about the people I was around. So, yeah, I'm really glad that there's variety out there. That this game is good and not just another one of those. You know, Wildlands seemed to do some unique things with its, like, open world and squad stuff.
Yeah, people really like Wildlands. I don't think made as big of a splash as they anticipated, but the people who really stuck around with it really, really liked it. And I think that's been true of a lot of Ubisoft stuff lately. Like, look at fucking Rainbow Six Siege.
Like, that game community is just,
yeah,
they're. It's really cool to see, like, because that game is years old by this point, and it did not have a good launch, and they just did what Ubisoft has done for the past few years, really, of just, all right, we're just going to fix it slowly and make it better, and people really, really like that game.
Really,
like, it's still one of the more popular games being played now, and that game's technically old, but they keep remaking, like, a lot of the systems.
They just keep coming out with stuff.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
That's what support for a game is supposed to be like. Just improvements. Improvements that the community will love, and it's fast. They come out frequent. That's what that is.
Dude,
shout out to Destiny 2.
And shout out to RuneScape. You were the one who originally told me about it, but another guy I was working with, he just picked up RuneScape
on
Classic.
Shout out to that school,
maybe
RuneScape.
On his phone, actually. I'm not sure.
You can play on phone.
But the same way I just picked up WoW Classic, he's been jumping back into that, you know, the same game. But they keep updating it with all the, like, hey, community, what do you want? You know, we want this. Are you sure?
Actively developing content for RuneScape, but, like, it looks like from 2007. It's fucking cool.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and take a quick break here, and then we will get into our main topic of what our favorite games are for the year.
Hello, everyone. This is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network. Currently, you've probably heard me on a show called Screen Heroes, where we discuss movies and TV shows about superhero, sci-fi, and a little bit of fantasy. Well, I love fantasy so much, I am starting a brand new podcast about fantasy television series. We are going to review these series in a bit more detail than what Screen Heroes usually does. We'll discuss multiple episodes for a whole continuous arc and then move on to another series. Spellbound will review shows, new shows like The Witcher, Good Omens, Carnival Row, and Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. We're also going to look back at previous shows such as American Gods and Avatar: The Last Airbender, old miniseries from the 90s like Leprechauns and The Tenth Kingdom, and we're going to do a movie here and there, maybe even a little bit of fantasy upcoming news, who knows. You'll be able to follow Spellbound at SpellboundCast on Twitter for the latest fantasy news about the show, about the upcoming shows that we'll be discussing. You can also listen to us Fridays coming in September.
Hey, we're back. So I thought it'd be fun to just kind of, I don't know, bullshit for the next however long this segment goes about just what our favorite games have been so far up to this point. For the year 2019, because as we kind of talked about a little bit off mic during the break, there's games that came out this year that I forgot came out this year.
Yeah.
Like Kingdom Hearts 3.
Like, so long ago,
yeah,
right? It feels,
man,
like forever, but it took 10 years to come out, so that's probably why like it came out forever, though, because we've been watching videos on it for since childhood.
I was, like, pretty positive on that game whenever it came out and I finished it, but I think it was just a lot of emotion of trying to finally get to play it. But man, the further removed I am from that game, I don't think it's gonna crack my top 10 of the year.
It was definitely pretty, but I think it should have just been called Sora Goes to Disneyland.
Yeah, and like a lot of that stuff had kind of nothing to do with anything happening in the plot. Like, it was very, so like I watched a speed run after I finished it, and the speed run, I'm like, okay, well, it took me like maybe 40 hours to beat this game. Like, the speedrun is down to, like, 3 hours, which you would, at least at that point, I think it's much quicker now. But once you get to a certain point in the game, I'm like, oh, man, they have so long to go. And they just, like, skipped two cutscenes, and then they were, like, an hour and a half later. I'm like, oh, shit,
what?
I forgot that, like,
lol,
2 hours of this game, and, like, the last third of the game is just cutscene. Like, that game is padded out by so much just watchable stuff. Anyway, that
game, and they
game
have an actual music video in the game.
Yeah,
the Let It Go. Yeah,
Let It Go.
The
whole
Let It Go scene from Frozen is there, but with Sword basically superimposed in the scene.
Right, it's like they're just literally in the corner, and it's basically just Let It Go. But you can hear like Goofy going "whoa," while he's like amazed that she's building this ice tower. It's fucking hilarious. You should absolutely look it up.
I think I will.
And yeah. Man, I wanted to like that game a whole lot, but I just don't know if I can anymore. Which I guess chalks
I guess
up
still,
to being
I guess
a Kingdom
least
Heart
favorite
fan.
Would be still a kind of favorite. So,
it,
yeah,
like
yeah,
even the worst something is the best.
I can't really
not
say
good
that,
thing.
Right, I can't really say that I hated it. It's just that I forgot about it, which I think speaks more.
Right.
So
a lot of its lifespan was just trailers and announcements.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Yeah, and I love the trailers.
And then the game was a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we can just kind of go around the room or however we want to do this. I don't really have any sort of formal way of doing this. What have you guys played this year that's made a good impact on you?
Well, y'all know I don't play anything that's not at least like 6 years old.
Great. Shut up then.
Okay. I've obviously been playing Apex.
Yeah, that did come out this year.
That did come out this year. If you remember, it was announced and released either one day after each other or right at the same time.
It was
a surprise.
I think it was right when they were like, and it's available now.
They put up like this big trailer the moment that it went live.
Yeah. And man, it got me hooked. It took me, you know, I had been playing Overwatch very seriously for a couple of years. And I assume I would still like Overwatch if I jumped in right now. But the issue was I didn't like playing with five teammates. I love team games, but it's just a high risk. You know, lifestyle. you go in, and if one person is upset about anything, boy, you're gonna have a bad time. And the higher, you know,
do.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to play to win, and the higher I climbed up the ladder, the more often I ran into teammates who were just not pleasant. And it really spoiled the game on me. That it stunk. So when Apex came out, it was Battle Royale. I was like, oh, I haven't played this before. Oh, they have abilities and ultimates. I love that. I was not interested in the building and stuff of Fortnite, so this was great for me because I love, you know, I'm not good enough at shooting to really climb the ladder that way, but if you've got abilities and ways you can manipulate, you know, all this stuff, and it's a team-only game, which, like, I am way better at teams in any game than I am just solo.
Right.
So I'm like, man, this hits all the check boxes for me. So I tried it out. I definitely wouldn't have stuck with it if I hadn't had friends to play with at the beginning. But I'm still playing it now, and I'm, you know, as happy as I've ever been. I'm excited to have seen the light of Battle Royale and actually got my hands
it
on it.
It truly is the apex.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm really sad that I never spent more time with it, because I know that that would be the one that would really get me into the genre. And that's just, I think a lot of it is because I really like how Respawn makes their shooters. Like, I like how they feel. They feel really good from, like, the sound design and everything about it. But there's, like, just a lot of really smart choices made in that game. I think the ping system is fucking brilliant still.
It's really
cool that you're seeing that stuff kind of pop up everywhere else, like I really hoped it would.
Right. Yep, setting the trend. I was just talking to somebody this weekend about that, where it was specifically great that I don't feel handicapped when I or any of my teammates aren't using a mic. In Overwatch, if you were in ranked and you didn't have a mic, you idiot. Like, yeah. What are you doing right. in ranked? Like, you can't play this without a mic. You cannot. So to have such a dramatic change where, you know, people aren't going to be upset if, like, I can just mute somebody and still see their pings and everything's fine. And I can also mute their pings if I want to. But you can communicate in a way that really reduces the chance of toxicity. And, you know, like if you're a woman and you don't want people to, you know, freak out because you're a girl, which, gosh.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Dude, I was in games in Overwatch all the time and a girl would come in, a woman would come in, and immediately people start blasting her. And it's like, dude, can we talk about anything besides her gender? And it was just frustrating because it wasn't constructive. And, it was very frustrating. So when I got to Apex and it basically took all of my main issues with my, at the time, favorite game, and solved them, not in a way that was like, all right, we're going to take these systems out because we don't want, you know, instead it was like, hey, we're going to offer you a robust system that's so comprehensive that you don't need any of that other stuff. We just took out the need for it. So, really
definitely
happy with that game.
Very accessible too for people who have trouble communicating,
right?
Or just trouble using speaking in general, or those who can't because, you know, parental controls or whatever.
Yeah,
like, yeah. And you can do like push to talk in there, so it'll say stuff out loud, and it's actually pretty easy to do. I found out.
Are you talking about the text speech thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't think Overwatch had that, but I'm not sure.
I think my favorite thing about it is the movement. The movement in Apex is just...
It's really good.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
No fall damage, for one thing. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's such a game changer.
Yeah.
The silence in that game, similar, but not to the extreme of The Last of Us. Man, when that game's quiet and you know there, you know for a fact there have to be people around you. Like, when the circle's real small, or, you know, you're halfway through a match, but there are still a ton of teams out there, but you don't hear any gunfire, everyone's trying to be quiet because the first person to take a shot... everyone's just gonna dogpile on him. So the second, because that's what you're supposed to do. If you hear somebody shooting, you're like, all right, we're gonna come in while they're looking the other direction and we're gonna mess them up. But then somebody's gonna come behind us and do the same thing. So that tension of, you know, I watched some PUBG and some Fortnite. Fortnite, I definitely don't think has the tension that I was looking for. PUBG kind of has it, but it's just so spread out. The map is so big.
Right.
But man, with Apex, when you're creeping along, and you're just trying, like, you've got to get from point A to point B. You know you're going to be vulnerable. You know there are enemies everywhere, but it's totally silent. It's this great tension of you on mic with your buddies. Everybody's like, everybody's like back to back looking out, just like, is anybody over there? No,
the
I think we're good.
Standing on end, adrenaline just coursing through their veins, just like.
Yeah, and for everybody to play different heroes that can complement each other. Anyway, it's great. I talk about Apex enough.
I'm not going to talk about Apex at all this month. Spends like half of the whole year talking about.
Yep.
I think that a lot of people are like unfortunately going to like overlook that game when it comes to like a lot of game of the year conversations, which is a big fucking bummer. Because that game is really, really good. It does a lot of really cool stuff, brings some new stuff to the genre, but I think people are going to overlook it because it is kind of just this multiplayer-only battle royale game that it's just like, yeah, it's really easy to dismiss, and I really think that sucks.
I don't know about it being solely multiplayer, counting it out of a game of the year, because when Splatoon first came out, it won game of the year at the Video Game Awards.
Really?
It was like, I think it was like Shooter of the Year or Game of the Year. I can't remember. It was one of the two, or both.
I think it might have been Shooter.
That's pretty cool.
I thought it was Game of the Year, but I mean, it's Shooter of the Year, one of them, for sure.
Yeah.
But, and it's multiplayer only, too.
Right.
I mean, it did have a single-player campaign, but its main draw, its core experience, was the multiplayer, you know, aspect. Mm.
I also think it does kind of speak to how many good games have come out this year so far. I think that game is easy to get buried, and especially since it came out so early in the year, people are going to forget about it by the time, like, November, December rolls around, you know?
Yeah, and we have games that are coming out that are, like, almost, like, new genres, you know? Not really, but, you know, Slay the Spire, and we talked last week about all the card, like, deck-building games that are coming out. You know, Apex is a battle royale game, and that comes with baggage. So I think it's easy to just be like, oh, it's another one of those. I will say them coming out with another brand new map instead of just revamping the existing one, I'm really hoping that's enough to have people step back in and check it out. Because, I mean, the game feels fresh. Every time I pick up that game, like every game I jump into, I feel like it's a fresh start. Anything, we could do anything right now. We could all pick up different weapons. We could land in a different place. We could, you know, play really aggressive, or we could just sneak. But it just feels fresh every game. I don't feel like it's samey, and I really expected it to be. Even when I watch other Battle Royales, I feel like,
okay. Especially since it's an EA game. Well, it's on EA Origins thing, mm-hmm. right? And then, well, you play on PS4, don't you? Mm. You don't? You play on PC?
Oh, I do play on PS4,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But, like, when it first came out, I don't know if it was multi-platform then, but I knew it came out, you know, on computer.
Yeah, it was multi-platform.
Was it? Okay. Mm. Well, I play on PC, so I have to go through EA Origins, and so it really surprised me, because it was like, EA? I'm not really sure, but it looks like fun, and look at this Lifeline character. She's awesome, and, you know.
Yeah.
Lifeline. Like, she's literally the only reason I started playing the game was Lifeline.
Lifeline's cool.
Well, I was talking to my friend yesterday, where... Whoever it was who pointed it out, sorry, I'm forgetting whoever this was. When the game came out, there were 8 characters available, but you can only play 6 of them. The other 2 had to be unlocked with in-game currency, but the currency is really easy to get, so I really didn't feel like I had to pay any money to get them. But of those 6 characters, there were 1, 2, 2. So there's a robot, a Samoan, 3 women.
2 of them are black.
And Bloodhound, who you can't see, who's gender
neutral,
ambiguous. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't think anything of that. You know, I just enjoyed the game. I enjoyed the characters. And
the Samoan is homosexual.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Mirage is bisexual. But he was one of the DLC characters, he and Caustic, so they're both white men.
Yeah.
But they were not, you know, they were like behind the paywall,
so
to speak.
You have to like pay for them, yeah. That was neat.
It was cool. So like, as soon as you jump into the game, there's just a super diverse cast of characters. And you know, a lot of the games I go into are either all women or women and a robot, you know? but I really like what's going on in that game. There's just such a diverse cast of characters, same with Overwatch. I like that it makes people feel visible in a way that's not in your face at all. Like, I didn't realize the thing about, you know, not playing a white man until somebody else pointed out, and I was like, oh, I like that. That's funny. Like, I like the characters already, but that's a kind of a novel little thing. That was clearly an intentional choice. They could have just thrown in a bunch of unremarkable characters, and they chose not to. So that's just cool.
Yeah. What else have y'all been playing this year?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Apex Legends.
Okay. Great. Cool. I'm just gonna leave for like 30 minutes.
Bye.
Well, I don't know if this counts because it came out in December of last year.
Who cares?
I'm pretty sure it's December, but Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yeah.
I am so obsessed with, it's a love letter to everyone that's in that game.
100%.
And one of the things that makes me really personally close to it is that Sakurai recently announced that, you know, it's kind of a love letter to Iwata, who had passed away, I think, 2 years ago. On my birthday, which made me so sad.
Oh,
it was a bittersweet day.
That made me cry when he was just like, I'm going in this hard because, like, his last mission to me was to do this. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to cry.
That man works so hard.
Oh, my God.
And I wish the community as a whole, not, like, our local scene, but would be a little bit more appreciative, I think.
I think...
Reading their Twitter, like, the Smash Twitter, quote-unquote, is a chore.
Yeah. I definitely... I'm, like, sort of... I have, like, adjacent visibility into some of that. I follow, like, a few higher-level, like, Melee and Ultimate players on Twitter, and... Like, I see a lot of them, and for the most part, they're just like, yeah, like, this is great. Like, I'm super excited about all of this. But then, like, people will get in the replies that are like, this fucking sucks. I'm like, man, fuck off.
Right.
Like, you know?
And it's just nipping me over the tiniest things.
I really, 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 really would love for Sakurai to rest. But I think I've just resigned myself to the fact that he's just never going to. And I don't think there's anything.
And he doesn't even look like he doesn't get sleep. He looks the same age for, like, the last 15 years.
It sucks, but I really just don't think there's anything anyone can do about it.
Yeah, I don't think he has a gear below, like, third gear.
I don't think
so
either.
He just can't.
He's always cranked up to 11.
Totally.
Yeah.
Always.
And, like, I'm really grateful for, like, the work he does. And, like, obviously, like you were saying, Smash is a total love letter to really just video games in general. And, man, like, I don't think that if anybody else was in charge of this game, it would have come out the way it did.
All right, look what happened to PlayStation All-Stars.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what did happen to that?
Really, I would love a sequel to that game.
It was actually a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun with it, and I think a sequel would have been great. Shout out to my boy Spike. Give me another fucking Ape Escape game, please. All right, yeah, Smash Ultimate.
Other than that, it hasn't come out yet, but I'm really looking forward to Pokemon.
Same here, yeah.
A lot of my favorite games of this year are not going to be out yet. Well, Demon X Machina is really, 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 really good.
I have been really wanting to pick that up. I'm a big Armored Core fan, but there's just so many other games that are, like, higher up on my list that I want to play.
See, it reminded me more of Zone of the Enders. I never played Armored Core, so maybe that's... I don't know.
Yeah, Armored Core is very much a little bit less anime flashy than Daemon X Machina, but, like, a lot of the art team and a lot of the people who worked on Armored Core worked on Daemon X Machina. It's very much like build your robot from the ground up with different parts and then go and do missions and stuff like that.
Well, there's a free prologue demo that you can download.
I need to play that demo, but God.
And the progress transfers over to the main game, which is something that you enjoy, Mr. Dragon Quest. So.
Oh, God. Yeah. Man, I might get to it maybe December when things slow down, but then...
You know, 10 years from now when you're done playing Destiny.
Oh, God. Right. Quarter one.
I can't wait to play Daemon X Machina now.
Yeah. Well, fuck. Like, once I'm done with all of these games, like, once Persona 5 Royal hits, then it's just over for me. Because I'm going to spend another 100-plus hours in that game, too.
I think I'll watch that one, because I was wanting it to come to Switch. I would love to be able to play a Persona game that I could take anywhere with me. Mm. And Scramble is not, it's one of those games like, you know, Hyrule Warriors or whatever. Like, I'll probably get it.
Yeah, I will.
But
I really want
Royal on the Switch, please.
I don't think it's going to happen. I would love for it to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen just because every single mainline Persona game has always been on a PlayStation system and I don't see that changing.
I mean, so was Final Fantasy until, you know, PlayStation came in and was like, we have CDs now, so.
Sure. But I think that you're more likely to see Persona games on PC than anything other than a PlayStation console.
That's fair enough.
Especially because of how well the, like, Yakuza games have been doing on PC. And, like, that's under the big Sega umbrella. I think they would definitely be all right with, like, we'll just put Persona 5 on PC. Like, sure, yeah, totally. I'd love for more people to play it.
Or completely blindside us with a new Dreamcast system. And then
that'd be wild.
Absolutely fucking wild.
Dude, can you imagine if somebody else came out with a console right now that was similarly to the Switch, just outside of the old model of a generation cycle?
So Google?
I mean, you've got like Stadia in the works.
Yeah.
But imagine if you had, I mean, of course, the Dreamcast was totally unique to its time for a lot of reasons. And if you recreated it today, it wouldn't be a one-to-one thing. Like, they had networking for the first time. You can go online with the...
What do they call the MVUs or whatever?
Shout out to the VMU. VMU is fucking awesome.
VMU, okay.
So cool.
And so that stuff's all cool. If somebody came up with a similarly impressive and totally ingenuitive... ingenious. There it is.
I think ingenuitive is a word.
All right. Well, I like it. Yeah. I could use it again.
Great. Okay. We'll just add it to the Tomtionary. It's fine.
There you go. favorite words of 2019. I would like to see something like that that's similar to the Nintendo Switch existed in its own cycle that, you know, it'd be tough for somebody who's not Nintendo to try to be Nintendo, but I'm more interested in seeing stuff that's adjacent to this cycle. Like, yeah, we're going to have upgrades and hardware changes and stuff, but the Nintendo Switch is such a versatile console, you know, that has a diverse, you know, different ways you can play, but also a huge diversity in its games now, unlike the,
oh, for sure,
the Wii U, you know, for example. But, you know, the Vita was cool. It just it didn't really work out.
Pours them out.
The poor thing.
Pours them out.
I love but my fucking Vita.
I'd like to see another company do something similar to Sony's take on the Vita / you know, console.
The Vita died,
I really
so that the Switch may live.
On that.
It did.
Where you could just locally, like, boop. Okay, well, let's share content with each other. Okay, all right, cool. Now I just got a bonus item in my game. Like, I thought that was really neat.
Dude,
it's almost
thought,
like Street Pass from...
Totally.
Yeah.
I thought I had, like, $1 million idea, and I mean, I still kind of think I did. My friend in college showed me the Highlander games, or, like, the...
Skylanders?
The Skylander games.
Ah, okay.
Where, you know, you set this statue on the pedestal, and you get something in the game which will unlock, you know, a character which allows you to reach this area you couldn't reach before. And now, you know, so this physical thing that you bought unlocked... kind of save data, but it unlocked in just in-game content, kind of like DLC. And so I was like, man, I hope, like, what I want to happen is that someone creates something like this. Obviously, this was before Amiibos existed. I was like, I want somebody to create something that's just like this, except you can have, like, your statue with your character of whatever game you're playing, and you can take it with you, and when you go over to your friends' places, this, like, cool statue that is, like, you know, a collector's item, but it's also representative of, like, maybe who your favorite character is or something. When you take it over to your friend's console, it has your save data on it, any customization.
I think Starlink does that.
I think it does too.
Yeah.
The
one that comes with the
like
big
the
ship
one.
Yeah.
I don't actually know. I never spent any time with that.
And I don't know.
Yeah, like, so if you did that where it wasn't, like, super expensive, but basically it gave you a physical representation of how your identity as a gamer in whatever game you're playing. Well, then of course they came out with Amiibos.
Yeah, man.
And it was like, oh, they kind of did that. You know, and when I saw that, it was kind of validating for me because I was like, oh man, you know, of course I wish I had could have gotten paid to think about this stuff. But, you know, I was proud of myself for coming up with this, like, out of thin air idea or something. And then to see Nintendo come up with this and just run with it. That was so cool because, you know, I thought my idea was creative because I'm like, haha, I came up with something smart. But then to see somebody actually take such a huge risk and come up with something and go all in, it wasn't half-assed. It wasn't, you know, it hasn't gone anywhere now. Amiibos still come out for all sorts of stuff. Even, you know, in Odyssey, I could get 3 different Amiibos that unlock.
Shout out to Wedding Bowser.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that one, it's my favorite Amiibo. I love it.
I think that's the one that I was thinking about getting.
I bought it with my Switch because I got the Odyssey Switch.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. I think Wedding Peach would be my favorite, which is weird because I don't even have her yet.
Yeah.
Which is weird because you know how obsessed I am with Princess Peach.
Right.
The
right.
listeners don't, but you guys do.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I don't know how I got off on that topic, but I really want to see more. Oh, because the Dreamcast. I want to see a new, just like a brand spanking new take on some hardware, because we're in this mid cycle, we're at the end of the cycle of this generation, at least it feels like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have Stadia that may or may not be awesome.
No, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, who knows? Because Google might just back off.
We still don't actually
know
the day that launches, and it is almost October, and it comes out in November.
Wait, it's supposed to, what?
Yeah, it launches in November. We don't actually have, like, a hard and fast date for it yet.
Stadia is dead. This just in.
Okay.
It's the Colosseum now. You know, it's just the bare bones, like, structure of what could have been or what used to be. Like.
Right.
Yeah, there's on that though.
There's definitely promise for that. I'm really interested to see how that's received, but I don't know if the pricing model with what they're going for is the right way to do it, because right now they're doing the kind of traditional marketplace model, but they're like advertising it as like this big streaming service. But if you're going to do that, I think you need to take just a full ass Games Pass style approach.
Right.
And Google certainly has the money to put up for that. Obviously, I'm not a business person. I'm not like privy to any of these budgets or anything like that. But I feel like they're just kind of going about this in the wrong way.
How's the DRM on the Stadia thing? Like, do we know how they're going to handle that? Are they going to have, like, exclusives? Or is it just going to be, like, free DRM? Or...
So, I mean, it's all, like, streamed through your Google account to any browser
But you still have to buy the games. Like, yes. So, I don't know.
I think they're just tied to your Google account, I would imagine. Okay. We don't know anything about that right now. There's no, like, there's, I think, pricing stuff out there, but there's no, like, how purchases work and, like, all of that stuff out there.
If I had bought a Founders Pack, I feel like right about now I'd be like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
Looking for that release date.
Yeah. Do stuff. Like,
yeah, I'm interested to see that. I don't know how we got here.
like the hardware thing. Like,
but even then, I don't know.
The
Wii Remotes actually did do the save data carryover thing, by the way, before Amiibo came out.
What did?
Wii Remotes. You could do save data.
What?
Yeah, you could transfer certain games. You could put your save data on... Wii Remotes and then carry it over, and then all, I think the first game to do that was Smash Bros.
I had no idea.
I think I could be wrong.
How does
Amiibo carry... is pronounced Amiibo? There's no S.
There's no physical thing on it.
Thomas.
Wait, what did I say?
It's pronounced Amiibo.
There's no S.
Oh well, I also say Aldi's because I grew up with my mom saying
Aldi's.
Okay,
well, I say that too. But that's
yeah.
Fair.
So sometimes an S just finds its way in
it's
there.
It's just been hammered into my brain through like my official Nintendo training.
Yeah,
like, they're like it's lowercase A, no S, and you can't say die because there's children. Like so.
I guess since we're just talking about Amiibo now, I think it was fucking brilliant that they were like, hey, yeah, they're just going to be like the real life trophies from Smash. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I've always wanted to have these. So like, I think that was a really smart move.
It makes sense though, because the whole genre of like, you know, Skylanders and Amiibo and all that, it's called Toys to Life. That's the genre.
Right.
So when they did that, the little translation of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I'm not that interested in collecting like physical stuff very much, but you know, Nintendo has a lot of really good Amiibos, and the fact that it has functionality with it too is just icing on the cake. So yeah, I think that's a brilliant model. I wouldn't mind seeing more of that in whatever form.
Give me a Gooigi Amiibo, you fucking
Gooigi,
cowards.
Gooigi, baby.
I need it.
Give me
I
Kratos.
Need it bad.
I want a Mr. L one.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that
in
would
fact,
be awesome.
If Ultimate could come up with two more skins per character, just so I could have Gooigi Luigi and Mr. L Luigi.
100%. And that's the only patch.
And Dry Bowser.
Oh, 100%. Give me Wedding Bowser. Fuck.
Dude, like, straight up Overwatch and Apex. Man. If I could spend $20, $15 or $20... and get an in-game skin, because that's the price of like the season pass is like $10, and you get way more than one or two skins and a bunch of other stuff in there. But if I was like, hey, I want to put something on my, you know, mantle, can I pay $20 or even, you know, $30? I don't care, for this cool looking skin, and then I get the skin in the game, and the only way I can get it is through this, you know, that'd be a cool thing. I feel like they'd make money off of that. The people who want that stuff would pay for that.
Fortnite does that, but I could be wrong. There's definitely games that have done stuff like that before.
Yeah.
I feel like they're tuning out now that there has to be one.
Yeah. Totally.
There has to be. Yeah. When I'm saying this out loud.
It's a good idea. We can support you. But like,
yeah. Cause some of the stuff there's some Overwatch models that were super legit and very expensive.
Yep.
I mean, I'm talking like $200-$300.
Are you talking about like the championship ones, like Lunar Tracer and Lunar Mercy or whatever?
Well, those are cool skins, but I'm thinking physical stuff. There was like
you
Hanzo
mean like
statue.
Actual models?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like in-game models. Okay. I was like, huh?
But no, there's some dope. Yeah, well, I paid $15 for the Mercy breast cancer skin. That was a pretty sweet one.
Oh, I got that one too. It was cute.
Yeah.
And also, you know, breast cancer research is important.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm donating charity. Give me that skin.
Yeah, right. They donated a whole lot of money from that.
They did. Yeah, they donated a whole lot of money really quickly from that. I'd like to see more of that stuff in games where it's just like... It's so easy to donate to charitable stuff. And skins, they're just vanity items. Man, gimme. I mean, you're printing money at that point.
Totally.
I'd like to be able to do that stuff without paying $200 for a really sick, like, floating magnetic May, whatever.
Snowball.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Snowball. That's super cool, but it's like $300 or something. It's either $200 or $300. The Hanzo one is like $200 plus.
Is the technology that's inside worth that much, do you think?
There's no technology in those. That's just it's a big-ass... intricate statue. I mean, so I understand it. I just like a cheaper, smaller version of that.
Must be lined with platinum or something.
Yeah, probably.
The diamond in it somewhere. Just
yeah, yeah. You got it to geode. You have to smash it to find the.
Oh no! But poor Snowball. I have like a plush one. And you can like interchange the face plates. It's really cool. It's so cute, and it like the little legs spin on it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and pull the reins back on this since we got really derailed.
Really in a rabbit hole.
Now it's time to shout out our hero of the week. This is a segment where we signal boost somebody that's doing something positive or awesome in the gaming space. I mentioned it earlier. It was really the first like sentence that I said on this show. But today's hero of the week, I am going to give to the YouTube creator. My name is Biff, B-Y-F. He's the one who put together that 4-hour Destiny lore video. I was kind of flipping through his channel a little bit, and he basically has these very kind of in-depth, but like relatively brief, except for the 4-hour one, just like just breakdowns of like Destiny lore and like lore surrounding like certain things and different events and like the history, like the chronological history of the world of Destiny. And it's really accessible. He presents it in this way where it's almost kind of like a history documentary, just in terms of like the quality. Like he commissions artists to basically like draw art if like footage of this particular event or like art surrounding a character doesn't actually exist. And he like commissions artists to like go into and like do descriptions. He works with a bunch of creators in like the Destiny space to like put together this stuff as like just kind of a benefit for the community. So I wanted to give him a shout out. They're really cool, and his voice is really deep and cool, and I really, really liked that video a whole lot.
Shout out to that guy. Deep voice.
Yeah.
Baritone.
So yeah, I don't remember the URL, and I probably should have looked that up, but if you just look for BYF, Biff, then you will totally find him. And I recommend checking that out if you are Destiny inclined, or if you're just interested about the world, if you're going to jump in. I don't recommend watching the whole 4 hours, but I mean, there's some interesting stuff in there for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 hours is brief, like, you know, in dog years. Like, it's like a dog minute.
I just had it on during work and like mostly listened to it, and it was like super digestible, and he presents it in a really cool way.
Yeah, that stuff's great. I told you for the show, I watched something similar to that for Elder Scrolls and Fallout. And that's a really cool way for a fan to create something that, you know, it is their own creation, but it allows other people who enjoy a franchise to see deeper into it without having to put in a commitment other than watching their content.
Yeah, it was good for me too, because I never played the first one. I jumped in at Vanilla Destiny 2.
What? Did I know that? You've never played the first one?
Destiny 1, no. I jumped in at Vanilla Destiny 2 and was just kind of like, all right, I kind of know what's going on. And then after this, I'm like, okay, I like have a base level understanding of what the fuck all of this shit means, mm-hmm. which is really cool. So yeah, definitely go check that guy out.
A 15-minute God of War recap was the only reason Lizzie and I were able to understand God of War at all.
That's
and
fair.
If that didn't exist, I mean, you know, somebody else would have created a wiki or something. But that's pretty cool that people are willing to make that stuff so digestible.
Mm-hmm. All right. Debbie, thank you so much for coming by and hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Is there anything that you would like to plug, or where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at SovereignSid, S-Y-D. If you search it, it'll be like the Black Princess Peach. That's the first one you'll see it. And it's obsessed with purple, like, so I'll be easily found there.
Great.
You can also find me at the same handle on Twitch once Perfect. I break my hiatus. That's been going on.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
So, yep.
I'll
try and get some content out there for you guys.
Excellent. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show this week. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by. If you like what you heard, please consider kicking us a buck or 12 at patreon.com/heroespodcasts.
Yeah, we need more rock band songs.
Yeah, we do.
That'll help the show and network grow to do even cooler stuff. If you can't contribute financially, that's okay, too. Share the show with a friend or rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. If you have any questions or ideas for topics to cover, hit us up on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod, and your submissions could make the show. You can find me on Twitter at TheCamDyMan. Thomas is at TeganNotSarah1. And if you're in the Kansas City area, or even just passing through, be sure to check out at GG_Kansas_City on Twitter, or GGKC on Facebook. We've got links to different gaming events and communities in the area that would love to have you be a part of them. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and a better tomorrow.